Sobriety date is my sobriety date is November 17th, 2015. I have a higher power of my understanding. I have a sponsor and I have a home group, and I didn't want any of those things. I'm gonna do my best to tell you a little bit about what it was like, what happened, and what it's like now. So I was born and raised in Las Vegas, Nevada, and that was my first resentment. Still my longest resentment. I remember from as early as I have a memory that I knew that it wasn't okay to be me. I grew up with my mother and my father and a little sister who's 3.5 years younger than me. At home, when both of my parents were home, there was like it was just screaming and chaos all the time. And are we moving out? Are we leaving? Are we here? Like, are we coming back? Are we stranded at this diner? It was just like chaos all the time. The other part of the time, my dad was on the gaming control board, which is kind of like the FBI, CIA of gaming, which meant he was out of the country a lot. That's one thing it meant. The other thing that it meant is that rules and laws were very important. Like, we didn't do anything. Like, you didn't ever watch a movie that wasn't of your age. You didn't speed over the speed limit. You didn't do anything, right? Like, you had to obey the rules. It was also told to me like that a gaming license is so hard to get. Like, they investigate you like you're in the FBI. Like, they who you talk to and who your friends are, and they know what they're doing. And so if I did anything wrong, my dad could lose everything. Like, I was told that, right? As I was growing up, my sister had an accident, was diagnosed with epilepsy. She had seizures. And so when I was about 7 years old, I was taught how to save my sister's life. And so that was my job, right? Like, I had to save my sister's life. And like, if my parents are fighting and screaming, I diverted it. Like, I was like, we're gonna go play or listen to music. So she didn't have to ever endure any of that. So at 7 years old, I'm responsible for any peace that there is gonna be in the house. I was kind of told this a lot too. And if there are problems, I was also kind of told it was because of me. But I kind of also took that on myself. And then right afterwards, my dog was also diagnosed with like epilepsy. So that was happening too at the same time. So that's kind of like a summary of like how I grew up. I went to public school my whole life. When I got to about to go into high school, my parents thought, being good parents that they are, that they were going to send me to the private Catholic preparatory college. I've never been to a Catholic anything in my life. And when I tell you I was kicking and screaming and crying, I'm not exaggerating. I thought it was the worst thing that ever happened to me. And I begged and cried not to go. I didn't know a single person. I went into my first year, my first day of freshman year, and I went into religion class, and they started saying the Hail Mary, and I was like, I'm in a cult. You better mouth the words because you don't know what could happen to you. I continued to have that same, like, I continued to beg and scream and cry every single year, to not go there. And so what I did is I decided we're just not going to try. So, well, I try. I hate it here. And when I got to like my junior year, my grade point average was one point something, because what does the something matter? My first number's one. And then I learned like you could go to college that is not in Las Vegas. And I was like, cute, let's try. So I did that, and then I somehow convinced my parents to let me go to this junior college in LA. Because somebody that I was a nanny for lived there and convinced him that it was safe. And so I got my ticket out, right? Like, there was maybe one or two. I had my first drink when I was 14 with my parents somewhere. I will tell you this. I was 14 and we were with some kids and like we're playing quarters and nobody was getting it in. And I was like, this doesn't make any sense. Why don't we drink when we don't make it in? So we could just keep drinking. So I should have known then, right? Drank a couple times in high school, but not really. There was one time that I did go with my friends to like the New Year's thing when it was in downtown before there was a Fremont Street, right? And then somebody's sister called me and was like, "You're on the news." And I was like, didn't happen. He didn't know that we were like on a vacation somewhere and like they were showing cops in Vegas and New Year's. And I was like, "I gotta go." And I like took myself outside on the balcony shaking. Nothing ever came of that. So already it wasn't cute, with me drinking. When I got to college, though, I'm going to tell you, okay, great. My drinking really took off. My drinking really took off, and I got the best grades I ever got in my life. I was happy. I could breathe. I could exhale. You know, I was like, I got into, I started college, or I started college when I was 17. So I was like getting into clubs at 17 in like Hollywood, and like, you know, everything was great. I didn't really have consequences. I didn't really have consequences until I will tell you, I met a dude that I didn't like. I married him. And then that's what I do. And then 4 years later, we had a little girl. At about a year, year and a half after that, we separated. So then I have this little girl, right? And I did get pulled over with her, got like a DUI and had to have somebody come pick her up. But I would love to tell you that's when I got sober. It wasn't. I got sober via intervention. So I walked into my own intervention. And I basically told my mom and my dad and my daughter and my sister, who was on the phone because she lived in Singapore, that they were so overreacting and they needed to just calm down. And if they just leave, I'll drive myself there. And they put my 15-year-old daughter in front of me. And she said, if you don't go right now, I'm not talking to you. And so I went. I went with this lady who, in my perception, was screaming alcoholic at me. And I got in the car and I said, if she breathes too loud, if she says one word to me, I'm jumping out of this car. Nowhere to go. Just got disowned. But I'm jumping out of the car. She didn't. And so I got into the detox sober living place. And I was like, oh, this is the break that I wanted. And that's how I looked at it. I wouldn't go to a single meeting that was in a church. I refused. I made them literally change the schedule of who was going to watch who, because I won't do that. And they told me to read the book. If I'm going to stay home, I got to read the book. So I read the book and I went, oh, God, strike one, strike two, strike three, push the book away. I'm like, we're not doing that. We're not doing that. I stayed in that treatment center for 30 days. And I lived in Las Vegas for another 30 days before I moved back to LA. And when I moved to LA, I promptly didn't go to, I was still sober. I didn't go to a meeting for 30 days. And then my temporary sponsor in Las Vegas was going to be in LA and invited me to go to this meeting. And she's like, it's great. It's big. There's so many people there. You know, you should meet me there. And I was like, sounds like I'm supposed to be scared. Let's do it. And so I go and like, I, you know, people are introducing me around and talking to people. And I'm like, people are telling me how to get a sponsor. And I chose someone who looked really happy because I thought, that's big. You can't be sober and happy. There's no damn way, right? Like, what are you hiding, right? And I will tell you, that woman saved my life. She was my sponsor for my first year. She seemed really happy. And then when we started working on stuff, if I was like 2 minutes late to meet her to do the steps, we weren't doing the steps. If I called her a minute late, we weren't doing a call. And she taught me how to show up. She taught me how to show up in Alcoholics Anonymous. And after that, I ended up not being able to hear her and I had to get a new sponsor. And that sponsor's been Norma for the last 7 years. I'm gonna get emotional now. This woman has saved my life. Like so many times has saved my life. That daughter that I told you about, she is now 24 years old. She would stand up here and tell you we're best friends. I promise I'm a mom too, but we're very, very close. She lives in Connecticut. She's actually coming here on the 20th because that's what she wants to do for her break, is spend time with me. I certainly did not want to spend time with my mother when I was 24 years old. But so I'm glad she wants to. So we're going to hang out for a couple of weeks. You know, okay, great, perfect. So where I'm at now is there's been times in my sobriety where I felt very connected to my higher power, and there's been times in my sobriety where it feels like I'm going through the motions. And it's kind of felt like I've been going through the motions. And what happens is, you know, I've heard a lot in Alcoholics Anonymous, people say, God willing, that, you know, I'll have this, or God willing, I'll, right? And that doesn't resonate with me because in my experience, God has been willing the whole time.
Yeah.
It's if I'm willing, right? It's if I'm willing. And so my prayers kind of look like, I'm willing, whatever it looks like, I'm willing. And what's happened for me is I've been asked to speak so many times in the last, like, I don't know, two, three weeks, right? Like, I just keep getting asked to speak at places, and it's like, oh, got it. This is, let me show up in this way. And what I get to do is see rooms full of people who feel the same way that I do, who people who are counting days, or like people who are counting years, people who have more time than me, less time than me. And every single one of you says something or does something that I needed to hear, right? I love going to new meetings with people that I don't know. I love it because I always hear something different. And it doesn't matter how much time the person has ever, right? It's just the message that I need to hear if I show up in the right place where my higher powers put me. So if you're new, if you're feeling new, welcome. We're really glad you're here. You're going to hear that a lot. And it sounds like crap, but like ridiculous. Like we don't mean it. I promise you, we mean it. And I promise you, the person sitting to your left and the person sitting to your right wants nothing more for you than what you want for you. So if you hear nothing else tonight, I hope you hear the one thing that I heard that helped me, and that's hope. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you, Heather.